Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as always for this day that we can celebrate and sing because You've set us free. You've set us free from worrying about the consequences of our own sin and what eternity will be. You've set us free from worrying about the problems of today. You've set us free by Your power and grace and love. Lord, thank You for being our God. Thank You for being our Savior. Thank You for being our Redeemer. Thank You for setting us free. Free to focus on what truly matters. Free to live life as You said to the fullest. Free for an eternity with You. All because of what You've done. Thank You, God. We thank You for our moms, for our wives, for our grandmothers, for our daughters. Thank You for the blessing that they are, have always been, and will continue to be. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that You would touch this time that we've gathered together, that we might walk out of this room more in love with You, God, understanding Your ways more fully, following Jesus more closely, and looking a lot more like Him than we walked in. It is for that reason we are assembled, and we trust in You to accomplish that task. And God, we thank You in advance for what's to come through the power of Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. For as always, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Good to be with you this morning, as always. Good to be here and celebrate Mother's Day with you awesome folks. I mean that. Happy Mother's Day to you mamas. Yours is a high calling and a great task. We just want to thank you for all that you do. I think we can all agree that there's something we have in common. Everybody's got a mama. And we've all been impacted. We've all been formed. We've all been shaped. And praise God, all of us here in a very positive way by our mother. For the better, we've been impacted by our mothers. So let's understand and appreciate. We want to focus on some biblical facts and truths today about a mother's heart. What is it about a mother's heart? First thing that we see in our Bible about a mother's heart is a mother's life and heart, it's a roller coaster ride, isn't it? Okay? It's up one minute and it's down the next. It's really good and then it gets really scary and then back and forth. For a mom, that seems to be the way life goes, and we'll see that firsthand here in a minute. A mother's heart knows great pain and great joy all at the same time. A mother can know joy greater than anybody else outside of out of God. A mother can know pain and worry outside of anybody else except for maybe God. Every Hallmark card that you go and look at, and I was picking out some yesterday on the shelves, will tell you that a mother's love can be compared to no other, but at the same time, we have to understand that a mother's pain can be compared to no other. Think biblically for a minute. You need to start no further than the early chapters of Genesis with Eve. The joy that she experienced having brought into this world the first baby boy. The joy that she experienced of giving birth and seeing that precious child and holding him and having him. She had reached a pinnacle unmatched at that point by human existence and something that probably hasn't been topped since. But at the same time, it was Eve who was the first mother who had to bury her own child. And it doesn't get any harder than that. You think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. The joy that she must have experienced when the Holy Spirit came to her and the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a son. And then it had to be great. And then to find out that her son would be the Savior of the world, who would take the punishment for all our sins and bring us all to the Father, and that had to be great joy. But at the same time, it was Mary who had to watch her very son suffer an incomprehensible death on the cross, be forsaken by his friends, be separated from his father. A mother's heart knows great joy. A mother's heart knows great pain like nobody else except for maybe God. We have to admit, we imagine that the pain comes first, that you have the labor, all right? You know, I've never gone through it. I can't explain it. I won't ever understand it. But you go through the pain and then comes the joy. But for you moms who have children who are growing up, you know and understand. For you moms who've had children that are grown, you understand that the pain doesn't stop there. That when they suffer, you suffer. And there's no epidural for that, is there, ladies? You just have to go through it with them. The labor is lifelong. Every mother's heart is both full and broken at the same time. And I see some of you moms nodding, and you know what I mean. We live in a broken world, And our lives are unfortunately marked by that. I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 1. We're going to take a look at a mother whose name was Jochebed. Why her? Why not Hannah? You really want to read about Hannah, or you really want to read about Eve or Mary or some of these other moms in the Bible? No, we want to talk about Jochebed. And who is Jochebed? That's not a name that comes to mind immediately. Well, she was Moses' mother. And in the story that we're going to read about Moses' mother, Jochebed, her name's not even mentioned in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2. You're going to recognize the story. Her name's not even mentioned until four chapters later in chapter 6 when the genealogy of Moses and Aaron is given. But there's a very good story here about the ups and downs of a mother's heart as she's bringing up a baby boy. We're going to set the stage with a few verses in chapter 1, a couple of different paragraphs, and then we'll get the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, says this: "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them." We're talking about the land of Egypt, where the Israelites are at this time. And skipping down to verse 15, it tells us there, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives," because these Israelites are growing so fast, "said to the midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, 'When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live.' The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked him, 'Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?' The midwives answered Pharaoh, 'Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive.' So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: 'Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live.'" Beginning in chapter 2, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him," that is, Jochebed, his mother. "When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. You see the ups and downs of Jochebed and Moses, baby Moses' story. Imagine Jochebed's joy when she found out she was pregnant, that she was going to have a child. She didn't know if it'd be a boy or a girl. And then out comes this new law that the Pharaoh had put in place: all the boys must die. That's some worry there. That's some suffering. That's some pain. Way up, way down. And then the time comes for the baby to be born, and you give birth to a child, and it's a lot of joy. And then you see that it is a boy, and you're bringing him into a world where the government has it out for him. You're bringing him, this little baby, into a world where he's already marked for death. You're bringing this child into a world where he's going to face suffering, where he's going to face a lot of difficulty, where he's going to face a lot of pain, a lot of strife from day one. We as parents know that feeling. Amen? So there's both the joy of the child and there is the pain of knowing what you're bringing them into. But then comes the hope. Okay, we've got hope. We can put this baby in this basket and maybe somebody else will get him. And so that's a good plan. Maybe something will happen. And can you imagine having to take this perfectly innocent and helpless little baby child, just a couple of months or 3 months old, and put it in a basket as you've put tar and pitch on and put it in the river. You imagine the struggle with that. That you're just going to put him on. And it could, that river could have taken that baby to the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean before it stopped. She had no control over that. She had to just trust in God in that moment. It's pretty difficult. And then who, by the providence of the Lord, would find this baby but the Pharaoh's daughter? Praise God. And it's her, actually, Jochebed, the baby's mother, that is going to get to nurse him. But then the Bible tells us when he got old enough, he didn't have to be nursed anymore. And once again, she had to turn him over. She had to give him up. Joy, pain, joy, pain, joy, pain. That's the life of a mom. Great joy and great pain come with being a mom, because being a mom is the highest of calling and therefore needs God's hand to help. Scripture tells us that we are to honor our mothers, we are to respect our mothers. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. There's a ton of gifts out there that you can go find on the internet or in the stores. And like mine, I'm sure your mom deserves gold and jewels and a mansion somewhere for all that she's put up with and all that she's done. But what do you do on the kind of budget that we have? Let me give you, for the children in here and for those of you that still have your mom with you, praise the Lord, some things that we can do on a shoestring budget, okay, when the piggy bank rattles a little bit. Some things that we can give mom to accentuate the extreme joy side of the equation and not give her any of the pain. Y'all with me on this? Some things we can do for mom. Number one, tell her about your successes. Just tell her what's going well for you in your life. Your mom wants to hear that stuff. She wants to know what's going really well for you. It doesn't matter if you're in school, or if you have a career, if you have a ministry. Your mom probably gets complete joy in hearing about your successes in life. Don't worry about sounding like you're bragging. It's not going to sound like it to your mom. She's not going to feel that way. If you really want to touch her heart, if you really want to make a difference, if you want to give her an awesome Mother's Day gift, tell her what's going well and how she contributed to that. She'll want to hear that. Ladies, am I right? Number two, tell her about your failure. Tell her about your struggles. Tell her what you're having difficulties with. Moms are wired and created and want nothing more than to give unconditional love. It's just what they do. It's who they are. And so when we go to them with our struggles, when the weight of the world is riding, it seems, on your very shoulders, she wants to be there for you. And even more than that, or just as much as that, she wants to know that you know that she's always going to be there for you. So take your struggles to your mom. Number three, changing gears a little bit. You want to give your mom a good present, bless her, give her a great joy. Ask her about your own childhood. Ask her questions about your own childhood. Tell mom, what was it like the day I was born? What were you thinking when you got up that morning? What was the next day like? What was it like the day you took me to kindergarten? Well, anything like that. You may have heard the story a gazillion times, all right? You may have heard it that many times plus 10, but I'll bet she loves sharing it. I'll bet she loves reminiscing about it. I bet she loves talking about it, and I especially bet she loves telling you about it. Ask her questions like, how old was I when I first walked? How old was I when I first got a haircut? How old was I when, whatever. She loves telling you those stories, so that'll bless her. Next one. Tell her what you admire about her. Let me tell you something. Marvel isn't the only one that has superheroes. Remind your mom what a superhero she has always been and still is in your life. Let her know that you value the way she has lived her life and all the things she's put up with and given to your life. Let her know how much you appreciate it. Let her know what it is about her that you really, really and stands out and that you admire. She needs to hear that. That will bless her tremendously. Another one is take time to just sit and talk. Take time to just sit and talk. This works probably more for some of us who are more adults, but also for the kids too. No agenda, no plan, no we got to get this done or let's complain about this situation. Take time to just sit and talk. No cell phone, no TV, no radio. Just you and her, just spending quality time together, just talking. That will bless your mom tremendously. Here's a good one. Ask her to write something down. What do you mean by that? Ask her to write something down. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Maybe it's something that you know that she has in her heart or something that she wants to pass along to you. could be her favorite Bible verse. It could be an old family recipe. It could be a tradition of some type. We'll just say, hey, Mom, you know what I'd like? I'd like for you to write that down for me. And she's going to know that she's passing it to you, and you'll have it. But not only will you have this very special memento that your mom is passing along to you, but you'll have it in her handwriting. And after she's gone, she'll know that you'll have it and that you'll treasure that. It may no difference what it is. Ask her to write something down and give that to you. A couple more. Tell her what you are thankful for. You can never say it enough. You can never say thank you, Mom, enough, because a list of things that she's done is too long to possibly say thank you for this and that and this and this and this and this and that. We take so much for granted just in one single day that Mom did for us. Amen? Y'all with me on this? We're just supposed to be automatic. She's Mom. Think of what you've taken for granted over the years. I don't know how thankful you are for the great things and the small things. We assume she knows I'm thankful, don't we? Ah, she knows. She knows. We're all guilty of that. You want to load up the joy side of Mom way above the pain side? Thank her for something that you've never thanked her for before. Doesn't cost a nickel. Finally, every mom wants to hear, I love you. Every mom just wants to hear you say, hey, Mama, I love you and I appreciate you. So those are just a handful of things that you can give her, and she'll appreciate it. Now, for you moms, I want to give you some encouragement and some advice. We live in a culture, we live in a society, we live in an Americanized way of doing things where there's this picture created on TV and in books where you just have to be this superhero kind of mom. And I think it's actually worse in the Christian circles than it is in the secular circles, in that you read all that Jen Hatmaker's doing, and you see everything that Ann Graham Lotz is doing, and you see what's going on with Beth Moore and all that, and they've just got it so together, and they're so spiritual, and everything's just working out so well for them. Their house is always perfectly clean, all right, and they cook homemade meals, and the centerpiece of their table is the latest Pinterest whatsoever. I don't know what I'm talking about. But you got to have all these things together, and you got to be a master scheduler where nobody's ever late for anything. Well, this is Cornerstone. Anyway, you're never very late for much of anything. All right, and everybody gets to practice, and they get to school, and they get to this and that. The moms are they're running schedules and itineraries that would match small countries. They need to be in Congress instead of these whatever they are that's up there. All right, here's what I want you to know, Mom. Don't buy into this whole idea that you've got to do it all perfect. You don't have to be super mom to be super mom. You just have to have a mother's heart. You just have to endure the pain that comes with being a mother because the joy outweighs it. You just have to trust in God. Like Jochebed, when she puts that baby in that basket, she really had to trust God at this moment. You just got to seek what His plan is for them and for you. See, she brought Moses into the world. She sets him into a society where the government is doing some really dumb things. Sound familiar? She sets him into a world where promises are broken, where people fall short of the glory of God, and everything seems to be aligned against God's people. But out of a mother's heart comes a life that changed the world forever. And just like with Jochebed, and just like with her baby boy Moses, the thing that you and I can take from this very story is that God was there every step of the way. When the good things came and when the hard things came. When the tough decisions came and when the dangerous life moments arrived, God was there through it all. And He wasn't just there, He provided every step of the way. He provided all the way. He provided a safe place in that basket. He provided not just somebody to get the baby, but the Pharaoh's daughter to get the baby. He provided her with the opportunity to nurse him until it was time for him to be turned loose again. God provided all the way. God protected that child every step of the way because she trusted Him too. God never ceased and never ceases to have a plan for you and your family and your children. That's the God you and I serve. You got to trust that. Here's the thing. You can't be their Savior. Mom, you can't do it. You can feed them. You can clothe them. You can get them there on time. You can teach them. You can rebuke them. You can discipline them. You can help them. You can do all these things, but you can't save them from their sins. Only God can do that through Jesus. And you got to trust Him to do it. You got to turn Him loose. You got to turn her loose to the only one that can. Now, that's a lot easier said than done, but that's having a mother's heart. That'll make you super. Well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Mama. The ones that are sitting right next to us, the ones that are halfway across the state or the country, the ones who are at home not feeling well or maybe cooking for us, and for the ones who've already gone home to You. Thank You, Lord, for our mamas. Thank You for living in their hearts, just like You did in Jochebed. Thank You for seeing them through the good times and the bad. And thank You for everything that they've passed on to us that came from You. Please help us to bless our mothers today and with every day out of appreciation to them and to You. Lord, if there's anyone in this room today, any man, woman, or child within the sound of my voice who does not know the forgiveness that only Jesus can give them, who does not know that they know that they know that they'll go to heaven if something happens to them today, if there's anyone here who has never given their life to Jesus Christ, asked Him to be their personal Lord and Savior, been washed clean and is going to heaven, I pray that they would know right here and now, by the power of Your Spirit, that there is nothing their mother would rather get for Mother's Day than their salvation. Knowing that their baby boy, that their baby girl, that their precious child is going to live forever with the Father, with the Son, and with them. If that describes someone here today, I pray that they would come. So Lord, we thank You in advance for what You're about to do, as always, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Just a time of invitation. As we appreciate Mama, and we know what she would want, I pray that during this moment and at this time, You'd act on that according to God's plan for you. Whatever it is God's leading you to do.